This is Politico Energy. Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron. Over the holiday weekend, big news regarding two U.S. pipelines connecting and delivering fossil fuels across the country could reshape the energy landscape.
New this evening, Duke Energy and Dominion Energy say that they're canceling the Atlantic Coast Pipeline project. The developers say it's because of delays and, quote, increasing cost uncertainty.
First, over the weekend, the controversial Atlantic Coast Pipeline was completely dropped after years of court battles over whether it could cross national parks and federally protected areas.
We got some breaking news on the Dakota Access Pipeline. Lauren, what do you got?
The issue is a district court has ordered the Dakota Access Pipeline to be shut down, not only shut down, but emptied as well within 30 days. So that deadline is August 5th.
Here's and on Monday, a federal court hit pause on the Dakota Access Pipeline, delivering a major win to environmentalists and tribes that have long opposed the project. Today, Politico's Ben Lefebvre on what these projects mean for the Trump administration's long effort to ramp up pipelines across the country. It's Tuesday, July 7th, and I'm Kelsey Tamburino. So, Ben, you had a pretty busy July 4th weekend with all of this pipeline news. So can you fill us in about Atlantic Coast first and why the developers decided to drop the project?
It was a pipeline that was supposed to bring natural gas from West Virginia through Virginia and into North Carolina. So this is the one that the Supreme Court had heard about. There was this whole fight whether they erred in allowing it to go under the Appalachian Trail. There was a question of whether the agency that permitted it even had jurisdiction to do so. So the Supreme Court eventually decided yes, but there's also a bunch of questions like this pipeline was still tied up over questions of whether the Army Corps of Engineers violated the Endangered Species Act when it gave the pipeline these permits. And FERC, one of the agencies that's in charge of natural gas pipelines, basically said you got to go back to the drawing board with these permits because of these questions over the Endangered Species Act. So this pipeline, the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, had been like just almost halted to a crawl as far as its development was going. It was costing more and more money, taking longer and longer to get anywhere.
Okay, so that's Atlantic Coast. But what about the Dakota Access Pipeline?
The fight over Dakota Access is in some ways more dramatic than what was going on with Atlantic Coast. This is one where the Obama administration basically put the kibosh on before it left. And along with Keystone XL, the Dakota Access Pipeline is one of the ones that the Trump administration, like in week one of the administration, signed an executive order saying, get these going again. And it actually had started up. I mean, it was one of the few pipelines the administration could point to as a success story for its policies. What happened now is that the Standing Rock Sioux Native American tribe and others and, you know, environmental groups were still continuing the legal fight against the pipeline. And a judge said, you know what, this environmental review you were ordered to do, you did not do. And the judge said, you know, the fallout from any oil spill coming from this pipeline would go into this lake that serves as the water reservoir for these tribes, that damage would be much greater than the economic hit, you know, the companies or the refineries would take. So he ordered the pipeline to stop deliveries within 30 days, and they're not allowed to bring them up, bring it back up running until the Army Corps of Engineers finishes an environmental impact statement on the easement it granted.
So all throughout the Trump administration, there's been a question over how effective this approach of getting permitting done and skipping the bureaucratic process really could be. Do you think that that has played a role in the cases of Dakota Access and the Atlantic Coast Pipeline?
The administration is almost to a certain extent shooting itself in the foot in two ways. The argument can be made that they rushed through a lot of this permitting process for these two pipelines to an extent that it gave environmental groups and Native American groups a lot of openings to challenge these pipelines. So the administration has been shooting itself in the foot by trying to fast track these things so quickly. The other thing that kind of grabbed me with these two pipelines is that the administration was very quick to blame the judge's decisions on protests saying, the protests are grinding down our pipeline, you know, development plans, which when I read that, I'm like, you're really giving wind to the protest groups. I would imagine that, you know, they get all these press releases now saying, hey, we won, you know, we got rid of this pipeline, or we stopped this pipeline from being able to deliver. I would just think politically, the administration is not helping itself at all with its messaging.
Ben, a lot of people could see these rulings against pipelines and the decisions of companies to pull the plug on these projects as a signal that the tide is turning against these fossil fuel projects. Is there anything to that?
You know, it's interesting times right now in more ways than one. A lot of these pipelines were first proposed as the U.S. was grappling with this oil and gas coming out of regions that had not been producing that much in the past. But what's happening is during the years these pipelines have been contested, renewable energy has been gaining a greater foothold in the U.S., you know, energy portfolio. So there's questions now of how much do we really need these? I mean, you know, Dominion Energy over in Virginia, where I'm at, like the Virginia legislature said, you got to have start, you know, going toward 100% renewable energy production. So they're basically saying, why, if we're going to move to 100% renewable energy, why are we spending all this time and money on a pipeline we might not even need, you know, in like 10 or 20 years? Along with Dakota Access, you know, and Atlantic Coast and Keystone XL, state governments now in Michigan, we've seen, are showing a willingness to go after like pipelines that have been in the ground and operating for decades. We're seeing Michigan really ratchet up its court case against the Enbridge Line 5 pipeline, which is the oil pipeline that cuts through the Straits of Mackinac. And they're saying basically this is no longer in the public interest. So not only are we seeing pipeline fights going against relatively new projects, we're seeing them going after, you know, projects that have been kind of taken for granted and in the ground for like decades.
Subscribe to Politico Energy wherever you listen and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want more energy news in your inbox, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Thanks, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Support for the Politico Energy Podcast comes from Chevron, partnering with California Bioenergy to transform farm waste into renewable natural gas and providing an alternative source of power for a cleaner way forward. For more information, visit chevron.com.